Good morning, everyone. I've been selected to go first, so bear with me for what happens. So I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're all doing well and are wide awake on this early Sunday morning. I got 5 hours of sleep last night, so I'm feeling just phenomenal right now. My name is William Corky. I'm a senior at Carey Academy and am unsure where I will be attending college next fall. As I sat in my chair last week, thinking about what to write about for my sermon, a plethora of ideas came rushing through my head. All the experiences and trips provided by the church, and the laughable moments with friends. As some or many of you may know, the church is a huge sponsor of the local scout troop, Troop 395. They provide us a place to meet every Tuesday and provide the sanctuary to use twice a year for a court of honor. With the church, I've been a part of the choir since 7th grade and a member of the youth group. With the church, I've attended youth trips such as Massanutta, Myers Park Presbyterian Church, Camp Don Lee, Asheville Youth Mission, Appalachian Service Project, and probably more I just can't remember. Before each trip, I'm always dreading going, whether it's because I would rather be doing something else or because I'm worried about being prepared for what could happen on a trip. I'm the kind of person who will always have something bad happen on a trip, whether it's injury, illness, or whatever else may come of me. When my mom drops me off at the buses before each trip, I feel queasy and appear displeased as I'm worried for what is to come. During the trip, though, people such as Chip, Genevieve, as well as other leaders, and more importantly, my friends, always make it a positive experience. I find the problem is with my confidence. Always worried about it possibly being a bad experience rather than having a positive mindset and confidently entering the bus with either friends or people I've never met. I'm that person who always does something crazy while on the trip. For example, when driving up to Massanutta in 8th grade, I bought two-liter bottles of Fanta for $3.05, which I thought to be a steal. I carried those bottles all the way up to my dorm room, and my roommate Reed Thompson and I drank one of those bottles over the entirety of the week. We couldn't finish the other, so I brought it home with me. One trip I was extremely nervous for was my first trip to Camp Don Lee as a middle schooler. I was not too excited for the trip, as I was worried for all the time I was going to be spending at a new and unfamiliar place. Even to this day, I'm still not a fan of sleepaway camps because of the new environment, but at least I knew people on this trip. One tradition I remember was meeting in small groups. These small groups gave me a time to reflect on the trip, talk about serious matters in my life with peers, and bond over commonalities. These trips provide the opportunity for fun experiences we can look back on for the rest of our lives, like when I bought two pints of Ben & Jerry's ice cream at a Sheetz gas station on the way home from a trip. I was only able to eat one of them, so that second pint remained between my seatmate Graham Wilson and I. Poor Graham, he had to sit next to me for the remainder of the trip. Also, on one trip, a group of us, now all seniors, were riding back to church in the bus when Banks York thought it would be funny if he rode in the overhead luggage rack. When Genevieve wasn't paying attention at a stop we made, Banks got out of his seat and climbed into the overhead storage rack. He stayed up there for at least an hour before we stopped at a gas station, which he successfully got down undetected by Genevieve. God bless her soul for putting up with all her shenanigans over the years. All of these experiences would not have been possible without me taking a leap of faith and having to force myself to have a positive mindset on what was to come. My best advice to any of you who want to do something in your life but are too afraid to do it is just take a leap of faith. You will never know the outcome until after you've done something. As Wayne Gretzky perfectly puts it, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Caroline Garcia. I'm currently a senior at Millbrook High School, and I'm undecided on where I'll be attending in the fall. I have been involved at White Memorial since before I could walk, from being a baby in the nursery to volunteering at the nursery, volunteering at Vacation Bible School, a church internship, or being part of the high school leadership team. White Memorial is a fundamental aspect of who I am. Galatians 3:28 states, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." The first word that comes to mind when I read that verse and sums up my experience at White Memorial is stability. Stability to me is the consistent nature of something through the chaos and constant change that is life. Stability can be a person, a place, an experience, or a feeling. Stability can be knowing that every Sunday at 5 p.m., my friends and youth leaders will be there to greet me with open arms. Stability can be the safety that I feel whenever I talk to Christopher, Chip, Genevieve, Bailey, or any and all of the White Memorial staff, and knowing that my voice will always be heard and valued. Stability can even be something as simple as the coffee in the morning at church, giving me a pick-me-up after a long night of studying. It is always exciting to try new things and branch out of your comfort zone, but I believe that there is power and beauty and consistency in life or in the church experience. One of the most stable parts of my time in the church has been the valuable group of youth that I've grown up with. There has never been a time when we were not strangers. Some of these people I have known since before I can remember, and others I have had the pleasure of getting to know over the years, but the community we have built makes any friendship feel infinite. We all come from different backgrounds, go to different schools, and often have very different interests. But the one thing that connects us is the Holy Spirit, for as Galatians says, we are all one in Christ Jesus. The group of youth at our church has offered me a sense of stability and comfort through my time in the church and through the highs and lows of my childhood and now into adulthood, as crazy as that is to say. The connection that we all share surpasses any obstacles that we each face, and we help each other get through the hardships as if they were our own. One example of this happened 2 years ago in November. At 10 p.m. on a Saturday, my car battery decided to die in the Chipotle parking lot. My parents were asleep at the time, so I decided to get the next best thing, teenagers. While my car was on the way to Heaven's Gate, I was on the phone with my fellow senior, Sam Livengood, who happened to be accompanied by our other youth, Joshua and Ty. As soon as they heard that my car died, they said, "We're on the way." Their instant support and eagerness to help exhibited their unconditional kindness and helpfulness that they have always shown me. Although as soon as they arrived, I asked, "So do you know how to jumpstart a car?" The response I received was, "No clue." While we were not successful in starting my car, all three of them stayed with me in the Chipotle parking lot in the freezing cold while AAA came and replaced my car battery. It was moments like those that showed how some things stay stable amidst the chaos that can ensue, and that would be the people that I've met along the way. Senior year might be the biggest catalyst for change in our lives so far. We're all deciding on where we want to go to college, what we want to do with our lives, and what faith means in our lives, or even who we are. Change is exciting and is necessary. What I'm cherishing in these last few months in Raleigh is the stability that is present in my experience at White Memorial and that I feel being around the friends that I love dearly. This summer will be my final high school trip with White Memorial to Montreat, which I've attended since freshman year, and will be cherishing one more time with the people I love the most. I still have a lot to learn in regards to faith, growing as a Presbyterian, but what I do know is that there is comfort and stability, comfort in the love that Jesus has for us, and his love and presence is steadfast in my life.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Graham Wilson, and I'm a senior at Enloe, and I do not yet know where I will be attending in the fall. Today, I would like to share one of my favorite Bible verses, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, more commonly known as the parable of the talents. It has always been one of my favorite verses, even though I didn't always know what it meant. The parable tells the story of three enslaved men who are given what the Bible calls talents, which I originally thought literally meant skills, or, well, talents. I now know that these talents are a basic Hebrew standard of weight. One sacred talent is equal to 60 sacred minas. In turn, these sacred minas are equal to 60 shekels. The man who owned these three slaves entrusted the men with 5, 2, and 1 sacred talent each, quote, according to their own ability. That means that the first man had been given 18,000 shekels, the equivalent of $7,092,000 in today's world. The man leaves for many years, and upon his return, he settles accounts with the enslaved men. The first and second doubled the money that had been given to them, but the third dug a hole and hid his talent. The slave owner rewarded the first two and punished the third. It's important to understand that the man did not punish the third because he failed to reach a certain threshold, but that he did nothing with what he was given. And while, of course, this parable is framed through the lens of economics and just generally unpalatable, the point of the story is actually to make use of our own talents, our skills. It's simply a coincidence that the word for this unit of money is the same as our word for talent. Jesus is telling us through these characters that we should make use of the talents that God has given us. It doesn't matter if you improve in these areas, just that you show it. Now, what does that remind you of? I want you to think back to Sunday school, and for some of you that's a little harder than others, but I know you can do it. This story is exactly the same as a song many of us have sung, This Little Light of Mine. God doesn't want us to hide ourselves under a bushel or bury ourselves in the ground. God wants us to live while enjoying what we have been given. Many of you know that I'm very passionate about music, and I have a great musical community to participate in. Obviously, I sing in the youth choir, but I also play the trumpet in the church brass choir, the Triangle Youth Brass Band, and my school band. It's an understatement to say that I dedicate a lot of my time to music. As an Enlow student, I've been very lucky to have teachers and peers who've encouraged and pushed me to be better, but you don't need all that to take part in your own talents. Over COVID quarantines, a lot of people explored hobbies and interests that they just never had time for. I'm sure you all remember things like the sourdough craze a couple years back. It's things like that, things that make you happy, that God encourages us to partake of in this parable. And so as you leave here today, I'd like for you to go do something that you've always wanted to, but just haven't. My mom has even started knitting so that she can eventually make a Christmas stocking for our dog. Whatever you do, don't be afraid of failure. It doesn't matter if you're particularly skilled in your area of interest. All that matters is that you go out and use what God has given you to make others happy. I look forward to seeing what you do with your talents.